Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is Sunday morning, 1:22:23. The title of this is called Follow the Leader. Proverbs 20:18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. You know, the Lord's been having us, I guess this is the, well, really, we're going into probably a couple of years now of learning about the apostle. The Lord's been talking to us about doing a good warfare in all of these areas, and so that's kind of what we're going to touch on this morning. He's getting us in line to where we don't just do our own thing and just go rogue. It's like we're in the military. We have to learn to follow orders from the top down for us to successfully take out the enemy. And I'm talking about to take down his strongholds. We're not going to just do it because somebody's doing one thing over here and one thing over there. No, we're going to do it as a team. We're going to do it like an army. The church is God's army. Just like in Revelation, we're expecting the Lord come and kick everybody out and do all this stuff. No, he's going to do it through his church. Revelation 19 shows that to me. Jesus is picking up the crowns and putting them on his head because he is the head of the body of Christ. All right. We have learned over the last couple of years about the office of the apostle and how God wants to restore the apostle to the church. We have also established that the apostle is to build a spiritual house. Now we're going to look at some scriptures here. Like I told you, I ended the broadcast this morning about, and what I really talked about was the spiritual house. Tell you what, they've really messed us up as far as the Jew stuff. The church has gotten it so wrong, it's just nearly embarrassing to me. All right, 1 Peter 2:5. They're looking at the outward. That's all they do. Look at the outward. Look at the outward. Look at the outward. Look at the outward. Lord said, look at the inside. Look at the inside. Look at the inside. Look at the inside. Ow. Even someone I esteem highly taught, well, apostles build churches. Well, it's all the outside. All the outside. All the outside. No. Doing the inside will result in the outside. 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation. You are a spiritual one. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. These that are being gathered from the four corners of the earth will be Jew and Gentile alike, but they have one thing in common. Jesus Christ is their Lord. There's Israel. There's real Israel! Not the Khazarian Mafia. But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Instead of the separation that we see today, oh, if you say anything against the Jews, you're anti-Semitic. they did was make it sound like they were so much better than us, and don't you dare touch us. That's a fallacy. That's a lie of Satan. The devil did that. Most Christian churches are duped into believing that. Oh, you don't touch God's anointed. Who are God's anointed? His church, Jew and Gentile alike. Gosh, we got to get over this silliness. I just saw it this morning. I said, Lord, this is just a bunch of junk, isn't it? What is it doing? Just like the first word, keeping us spinning like a dog chasing his tail. Fighting amongst each other instead of going forth and kicking the devil out. All right, one of the main things the apostle does in the church is to keep order. Keep order. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Boy, I really bruised my hand up. I hit it on that. Look at that, it's turning black. That's right. This is an example. Verse 1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except ye interpret, that the church may be receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? You know, it doesn't stand to reason that Jesus came, so that the Jews and the Gentiles would be a big rift and a big split between the two. Ephesians says he made one, took down the wall of partition that was between us, nailing it, all the crud to the cross. I'll read that in a minute. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. He that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye be excelled at edifying the church. I was teaching on TV this week, and the Lord took me down this trail. I said, yeah, when I first came into this, before I got married, my husband went to an Assembly of God church, and we went to church, and this lady behind me was going, this myth. And I said, I'm never coming back to this church as long as I live. I couldn't wait to get out of there. She scared the pee-waddly-doo out of me, and I'm going, this is what he's talking about. She's like a barbarian to me. That wasn't wisdom. But that's the way it is. Everybody's just doing their own thing. No. That's not the way it's supposed to be in the church. Think about who's around you. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. She's back there. And running people off. There's no interpretation to that. And we don't think about things like that. Think, wow, people don't want to go to church? For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, sing with the understanding also. As when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? They think you're an idiot. They lost their minds in that place. I wonder if they got their snakes in the back. You know, those people that do that kind of stuff. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Why do we do what we do? Supposed to be by charity, right? Love. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also that 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Nobody cares about your going off. Do that at home. When you're at church, what's your target? The unsaved. Isn't this all about the Great Commission? Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Yeah, that's what I said. Woo! This lady's, woo, I'm getting out of here. But if they all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath the psalm, hath the doctrine, hath the tongue, hath the revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done these unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, at the most by three, and that by a course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. In other words, we've all been in churches where there's always some big dog. He's always the prophesier, always the one that's got this and got that. Nobody else ever gets to do anything or has a word in edgewise. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Well, I just couldn't help myself. Well, that isn't true. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Which we know these women were hollering at their husbands. What's going on here, Fred? I want to know. What's all this stuff? Let him explain it to her at home, not in the middle of the assembly. You understand, as an apostle, he's dealing with issues in the church. He's dealing with problems in the church. This is what apostles do. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak of the church. What? Came the word, our word from you, or came it unto yourself only? See, there's another problem he's dealing with. They're not under the law anymore. The women weren't like cattle anymore. If you think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. And there's other scripture that talks about women prophesying. He poured out his spirit on his sons and his daughters that they may prophesy. So, you see here, these are different issues he's dealing with these epistles he's writing to these churches. They're having problems. He's either visiting or he's writing letters. And they're dealing with these issues. But he wants everything decently and in order. You have to think about Gentile believers. They're not churched like we've been. They don't know what to do when you come in the assembly. Same way with the woman not dressing up. Well, if you're going to an orgy, you've got all this ornaments in your hair and everything. You know what I'm saying? So he's having to teach these people how to act because they don't know. Well, Paul was a woman hater. No, he wasn't. He had many women in his ministry. It's the women pastors. Phoebe was one of them. It's just learning to rightly interpret God's word. Dealing with issues in the church. I'm thinking, if we were doing that now, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. All right. Okay, here's another one I want to read to you. We're going to look over in the book of Revelation. We're going to read the first three chapters here. But I want you to see it in the right way. A lot of people just read through this and don't give much thought to what's being said here. But Jesus is talking to an apostle. He's saying, write these things down and give these things to the church. All right. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which revelation means disclosure. Jesus is disclosing to John what he expects of his assemblies in Asia, which gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the floor, and the girt, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fire and brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You know, when Revelation 19, he also has that sword in his mouth. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Let me move my marker here. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Do you think he takes very seriously this fellowship also? We're a candlestick. We have an angel over this assembly. He's on top of it. Don't think for a minute he doesn't see everything and know everything that goes on here. Men may not see what goes on here, but he does. He's the only one we care to impress. Thank you very much. All right, let's keep going. I want you to see that as if he's holding Abundant Grace Fellowship in his hand. Now, angels, the candlestick and the angels. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars. In his right hand there's the angels, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, the churches that he's addressing here. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear. Now he's got a letter here. He's mailing this to these churches. Or a book, it says. He recorded what Jesus said to him about each fellowship and sent it to these churches, just like Paul sent the epistles to the Gentile churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now he's addressing each one of these churches. They've got issues that need to be corrected. Jesus is overseeing this. He's given John what to say. So it's Jesus talking to his church through his apostles. It isn't just an apostle wanting to get up there, kick everybody around and tell them, I'm at the sheriff's in town, you're going to do what I say. No. We're looking too much in the natural, just like we started out with this. We're looking too much in the natural. This is spiritual. If you get anything today, I hope you get that, about how big the spiritual is and how the flesh amounts to nothing, and how our emphasis needs to be on the spiritual and get so much emphasis off of the natural. That's what's got the church all torn up, because all they see is that guy, that woman. We don't want them here. They're going to tell us what to do. I started this church, bless God, and you ain't going to come in and tell me what to do. Well, if you're listening to the Spirit, you will. If you don't, you're going to be removed. Let's just put it the way it is. That's what he's saying here, isn't it? And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He didn't say John said. And I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. The real Jew is a spiritual Jew, whether you are a natural Jew or not. Makes no difference. Natural Jews are not Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. From what I understand, they instigated the Holocaust. They're not the ones that died. It was the Christians that died. Part of the Christian Jews. See, everything's been misconstrued and twisted and turned and put in our faces for us to believe a certain way that isn't true. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these sayings saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Wow. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. And I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. This is going on in our Christian churches right now. And I think we're going to be surprised who all they are. They've been hidden up until this time. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. I remember a young woman talking, giving her testimony. She had become a Christian in a jail listening to Joel Osteen. But the thing is, she was in an abusive sexual type situation and she got free from it. So she went to this church, and I can't even remember the man, the pastor. He turned her over to the pedophiles. This pastor! I think it was a spirit-filled pastor even. I'm just going, you've got to be kidding me. Now you see why Mark Taylor harped on the 501c3. That's Babylonian. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against thee with the root sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. We're going to go through the same things. Every fellowship is going to go through the same things. Jesus is right there. He's overseeing. He knows what's going on. He knows where we're weak. He knows where we're strong. And he's going to be saying, okay, you need to fix this. Now to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame, unto flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Right now, you can turn on many channels that are people that read tarot cards, remote view, astro project, and they say they're Christians and they're listening to God. And they're very convincing. But they're also on the right on track. And some of them have a lot of good things to say. And probably I could benefit from some of the intel that they bring. But I can't listen to that. I cannot listen. I'm not going to hear from a tarot card reader. But they just mix it all together. Just like, well, you know, it's all the same God, whether it be Buddha. Well, that's convenient, because the one that says that, his wife's a Muslim. He's a Christian. It's all the same God. No, it isn't. I appreciate Estienon because he does have his doctrine straight. And he makes no bones about it. He knows what's going on. He has a very good take on it. But there's so many that are so weird and so out there. I'm just going, and they say they're Christians. They love Jesus. Well, you know, it's amazing what an unrenewed mind will do, how it will trick you, how it will sway you, how it will get you off course. Isn't that the devil's scheme? He don't have to feed you a satanic doctrine. All he has to do is screw yours up. Get you to believe in anything and everything. Well, when we ascend and when we get our pineal gland opened, I'm going, you know what? The Bible don't say anything about any of that. See what the flesh will do? This is the works of the flesh. This is what Jesus is talking about here. The works of the flesh is coming to the church. And he's saying, fix it or you're gone. Oh, well, Jesus wouldn't send somebody to hell. No, he wouldn't. You send yourself. You make a choice. I even had somebody in the family say that about homosexuality. Well, God wouldn't send them to hell. I said, think again. Think again. Just because you love them don't mean God will say, well, no, maybe not that one. Sin is sin. Flesh is flesh. And he makes it pretty clear in his word. If you choose to go that way, I will allow you to go that way, and I'll allow you to go right straight to the pit. But if you'll follow me, this is what I have for you. We sugarcoat it because we don't want to offend anybody. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. kids sleeping with each other, going to church, acting like nothing's going on, lesbian sitting on the front row. Oh, well, you know, we don't want to hurt their feelings. I'd rather hurt their feelings and see them in heaven than not. Now, I'm not saying go out of here and blast everybody. You be led by the Spirit in what you do, but know the truth. Know wherever you go, whoever you're dealing with, that may be their last opportunity. They need to know what the Word of God says. I was listening to Phil last night. I was telling Danny, I don't know if you watched it. And when the guy was talking about the tattoos, and he said, I just didn't know. You could tell it just hurt him because he loves God, but he's young in the Lord. He doesn't have any teaching. He doesn't have much teaching at all. He needs somebody to teach him. Behold, I will cast her into a bed with him that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. God is making no concessions. He's already given Jesus Christ. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. If you think you're going to live your life the way you want to and indulge the flesh to the max, think again. There is a price to pay. The gospel does require things of you. Now, if you don't know, you don't know, and your heart's right, that's a different story. But to just blatantly go on in your sin and not repent, then it's on you. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give them the morning star. He that hath a ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'll tell you what, the apostles have their work cut out for them. I feel sorry for all of us. I really do. Because it's going to be like an aqua velva moment when people realize, you mean I can't just do what I want? I just get the blessing part and then live like the devil? No, don't work that way. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So that tells me those that are watching, they'll know. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garment, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So it tells me, no, like the Baptist didn't get it right. Once saved, always saved. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and has kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. The real Jew, the fake Jew, the real Jew, the fake Jew. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, the leaders are the ones God's really going to hold the most accountability to. Because the church of today, I don't believe they know the truth about things. And unto the angel of the church and of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Yeah, they got big programs, put on big dramas and do big things, but they are not any spiritual anything. Got a lot of those. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I personally believe, and I wrote this, that church is taken very lightly in this day and time. People have no clue about what it is about. They come, sit in a chair and listen, but have they even gotten a picture, you know, of what they're encountering? Do they even have an inkling of why we're here? The purpose of being here is about? I don't think so. Yeah. I remember Brother Hagin, you know, I've told this a few times, I'll tell it again. When the prophetess was seeing a vision, he asked her, what are you seeing? She said, Jesus rode in on a white horse and he's surveying the troops. I'm thinking, that's a scary thought. That's how seriously he takes every fellowship, I believe. He's overseeing. He's overseeing how our hearts are, how we're honoring him or not honoring him. How we're doing what he told us to do or we're not doing what he told us to do. All right. The last church we went to, good-sized church. You could consider it a mega church, I guess, out here. Kids come in with their soft drinks, they're drinking their drinks, playing on their cell phones, up and down to the bathroom 15 and 20 times. All right. The head of the church and his angel for each fellowship is overseeing and paying a close attention to what is going on. This is not a spectator sport, as most have supposed. A lot of people won't go to church unless they have some kind of entertainment for their kids. What are we really walking into when we meet? Now, let's get our minds so much off of the natural. People would see this and say, oh, no way, they ain't got nothing. If you get done out there doing that, what you're doing, you know, you can come out here. You know, we got something going. We got dramas, you know. We got big choirs. We got a band. We got good voices singing here. What have you got? Nothing. If you get tired of doing that, just come out here. Well, answer to God for that. I don't care how humble it is. If the Master says be doing it, we be doing it. This has never been about the numbers for me. This has been about training for us so we get it right. And then we can show others how to get it right. All right. Let's see where I want to go from here. All right, let's look at a few scriptures. Matthew 18, 20. I can't tell you how many times on Richardson Street that I was teaching and I saw cars turn the cul-de-sac, head back out, like they was going to come to church, but they saw it was in a house and they thought, meh. I even had somebody at the radio station I was on say, the Lord told me to come there, but she never showed. Well, my husband don't want me to come. Or, there's nothing for our kids. Whatever the excuse may be, if he told you to do something, you got to do something. Because he has a reason. All right, Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'd rather have two or three and him in the midst than 4,000 and nowhere to be found. Candlestick removed. All right, Hebrews 12. Verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the renewing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. It's not about the numbers or anything else. It's about the obedience. It's about when the Lord comes and says, well, I told you to do this, and you did it. That's what I want to hear. Well done. Yeah. Do you think that people would act differently if they knew he was really here? If you had the concept of what you stepped into, Mount Zion, filled with angels, would you think differently, spiritually speaking? What you do when you go and you assemble and you connect in the Spirit? I think so. All right. If Jesus reacted when he was here on earth, you know he is reacting now that he is in heaven. He had some reactions on earth at how they were treating God's things. Yeah. Each fellowship must have oversight for obvious reasons. God is no longer winking. All right, this is Acts chapter 17. It's the reason he assigned his 12 apostles to start the church, to lay down doctrine, keep them in order. All right, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions and found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth the life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So this is what Paul had to start doing when he went into these Gentile countries, because they worshipped idols in temples. I mean, totally different from what they were used to. Some received, some didn't. Okay, maybe this is the way Jesus reacts when he comes into our gathering. 2 John 2, verse 12. I hope not. I'm going, oh Lord, I hope not. This is 2:12. It says, after this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge, a small cord, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. I know, what's his name, wrote a book called Merchandise and the Anointing. That's what it's about. Rick Renner? Yeah, Rick Renner. God takes all this very seriously, as does the Son. Paul, talking before Agrippa, said this. This is Acts 26:26. For the king knoweth of these things, which things before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Nobody can say, well, I didn't know. All right. Jesus indicates to John that those churches that will not get in order and come under John's apostleship and the message Jesus gave him, that he would remove that candlestick. The Spirit is adamant, let him that hath an ear, let him hear. Who would be the one to hear? Pastors. I think this, and this is just my opinion here, the biggest problem of the church today is accountability. We've got lots of churches with pastors, but do we have apostles over each one? Not that I know of. I mean, there may be more than I know about, because I really don't know about. All right. That's God's plan, whether they like it or not. All right. Proper order is the beginning. Egos are going to have to be removed. It's a chain of authority. It's like anything else. We submit to authority in the government, submit to authority in the military, submit to authority at work. Why should it be any different in the church? I don't understand that. Okay? To be a church that keeps Satan out, we will be militant and we will learn to follow orders. That starts by following the leader. Well, Jesus is the leader. Then is the apostle, the prophet, the pastor. All right. In Numbers 13 and 14, to me it's the church of today because they were the group that God gave them the land, but they refused because the giants were there to go in. But the kingdom age church is like Jericho. What happened at Jericho? Well, the captain of the house, we'll go there. Let's go there. This is Joshua 6. You're going to see what happened before they ever went into Jericho. No, it's 5. Sorry, 5. Let's start about 13 there. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So in chapter 6, you see the plan from the captain of the host of God's army. He tells him what to do. He goes around the city once, the first day. You know, do that once for 6 days. Nobody says a word. The priests are praying. The trumpets are blowing. And then the last day, we're going to do it 7 times. And when I say shout, shout. They were all together, one accord, everybody doing the same thing. Nobody said anything until they were told to. In other words, they were all on board with the plan and they were all working as one for an objective. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? I think Romans 4:17, calling those things which be not as though they were, happened. Music warfare under the command of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. They were playing the trumpets. Music warfare. Lord's been speaking to me about that. Music warfare. All right. Paul said to follow him as he followed Christ. They all followed Joshua. And Joshua was following God. Those that rebel and won't do it, well, you know what camp they ended up in. The dead camp. Chapter 14, or chapter 13 and 14. Those leaders that would not listen, God didn't let them live. He took them out. Those who will, well, you know the camp they are of. All right. With accountability, I believe we will see the unity of the faith with the bond of peace. Now, I'm going to read those scriptures I said earlier that I would read of. Let's just read the three here. Ephesians 2, the first one. Talking about the distinction between the two, that wall's no longer there. The curtain was rent in two from top to bottom. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See that? Curtain was there because nobody could come into the presence of God, and only the priest once a year. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So there is no distinction. There is no, well, the Jews, and they're better than everybody else, and the Christians. No. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Why do you think he sent the Jewish apostles into the Gentile nations? That ought to be proof in itself that was not supposed to be a dividing line anymore. They've used that anti-Semitic word one too many times. Now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. One household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Not with temples made with hands. You Jews are just going to have to get over it. All right, Ephesians 4, 7. But we're considered spiritual Jews. 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of in Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All right, 1 Corinthians 12. 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the smelling? Hearing. If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? And now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And rather one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more perfect way, and that more perfect way is the love walk. Honoring one another. Whether you are natural Gentile or natural Jew, makes no matter. But the focus on today is we are a spiritual house. And when the spirit comes first, then the natural will follow. See, we receive in the spirit natural instructions to carry out what God would have us do. But that should be from your personal life in every area that we should do that, because the flesh profits nothing. It's not going to help us. It's not going to help us get past things. It's not going to help us accomplish things. We need to focus on the inside, because that is where our power is, corporately and personally.